Perhaps before I preach to you, concerning these great spiritual gifts. Now, beloved, generally speaking, and I think you will find this working out in almost every case, I use the word generally because there may be the exception, but generally speaking, the gifts of the Spirit are conditioned by the people in whom they are, in whom they repose. This is a tremendous thing, because you will understand that these gifts are the gifts of the Spirit, and they are worked by the power of the Spirit. But their development depends entirely on the life and development and growth of the individuals so blessed as to receive them. This must be borne in mind. It's the difference between looking at the sovereignty of God, who gives gifts as he will, praise God, and the responsibility of man. And you know, once you realize that you have a gift, it isn't that you now have to realize you have the responsibility of discharging or using that gift, say to minister the gift, but you have a greater responsibility, a far greater responsibility. And let's get this absolutely right in this day when there's an emphasis on charismata, to use the accepted term. Your greater responsibility is to see that now you have this gift. You live such a life that anything God wants to say through that gift shall be perfectly consistent with the state of your life, so that there should be no contradiction and no hypocrisy. Now, this is most important, to have a gift. In the natural realm, you see, you can have a natural gift, say, to play the piano. Just let's take that. You can have a natural gift. No reflection on our sweet pianist. Now, you know, let's understand this. But you can have a natural gift to play the piano. And you can play the most gorgeous music and play it beautifully, but you can live like a devil. You see, that's the point. You can create the most wonderful poetry. You take our Shelleys and our Keats. But how you live is entirely different matter. In the natural realm, you must understand that the natural gifts of a person are not related to character at all. Take Dylan Thomas. He died in a drunken bout. In all our universities, our English teachers have taught Dylan Thomas. He lived a terrible life. See, it doesn't make any difference in this realm what your character is, if you've got a natural gift. But now, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, it matters very, very much. It does not mean that the person who has a gift of the Spirit, take the most common one, and when I say common, I mean general. I'm not speaking now this high or low. The one that is most commonly distributed in the body, the tongues, it does not mean that that person is a spiritual giant because they have that gift at all. Or any of the other gifts, beloved. And this is why you don't find, say, the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or these greater gifts much in the body. in companies of people simply because there is a life that has to bear these things, a tremendousness about it. For instance, the thing that shut everybody's mouths up and made them all at last wonder, so that from that moment they couldn't ask Jesus any more questions, was the wonderful word of wisdom he spoke when he said, "Show me a penny." Whose image and superscription hath it? They said, "Caesar's." He said, "Render therefore to Caesar the things of the Caesars, and render unto God the things of the gods." You know, Caesar was the god. When a person was Caesar, they were at worship level, and it was a tremendous thing that he said. And that shut them up, not when he just healed the sick, you see. And so you see, it's consistent with the stature of a man when it gets to the higher quality of gift. Do you see that? Now you are to understand that when you have a gift of the Spirit, your gift will always come out at baby level. You will more or less always say the same things unless you grow and go on with God. And not just in knowledge either, but that you grow in this great Christ-likeness. Now, beloved, it is precisely because of this that I, for one anyway, see the uselessness of everything in the end except ministering unto people so that they come unto perfection. Until people come to perfection, the best, the more perfect gifts will not be displayed among us. It's as simple as that. It isn't only, let me repeat, a matter of the sovereignty of God, who says, "I see my body needs the word of wisdom or the word of this, that, or the other." It isn't just that. It's a matter of God acting consistently along the lines of the revelation with the ultimate in you. For a man to move in wisdom, beloved, and speak words of wisdom or words of real knowledge, he's got to be a man that's going on and acquiring godlike stature in character and in spirit. Unless the very fact that he does this will kill him. It will kill him, it will crush him. Let him learn that he's speaking words of wonderful wisdom and he'll think a greater than Solomon's come, if he's not really got somewhere with God to walk in humility. This is why God doesn't do it, you see. Because the gifts are to build up the body, not to kill members of it. And not to bring it to confusion. And I say this to you, beloved, because there's a great desire in the heart of God, certainly in mine, and I believe it's in the heart of God, that there should be a great growth and a development in life, that we should all go on to perfection, that we should all walk in the more excellent way, in the most excellent way, and that we should covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, you walk in a more excellent way than you've walked before. Live in a more excellent manner than you have before, and you will find that God will give unto your heart, your desiring heart, more and more, and richer and richer experiences of and in these marvelous gifts of the Spirit of God. You must go on. You do see that, don't you? Oh, you go on. And becoming stuck in this realm of the gifts of the Spirit, beloved, is just as wrong, just as palpably wrong, as getting stuck in the matter of, say, saved and stuck. It's just as much, beloved. You've got to go on and on and on with the Lord. Praise his wonderful name. You do see that, don't you? So that you will find, again, your Bibles will be found to be perfectly consistent along this line. That the Lord Jesus didn't come to that tremendous statement, which is the pearl of wisdom that all Bible students will look to, about this render to Caesar and render to God. He didn't say things like that in the beginning of his ministry, but at the end, to let you see there's this thought of progress and development, even in the life of the God-man, who was perfect from the beginning. To let you see that God didn't suddenly stride into everything, the Lord Jesus Christ. He started, and as truly as his earthly life started as a babe, conceived in Mary's womb, and born in that manger, and then developing right through to the glorious cross, and then being laid down in the grave and rising, and then finally ascending, and then sitting down there. There's growth, development through everything. So there is in the revelation in the scripture this wonderful unfolding. God is like this, and he will be in your life. Whatever you do, whatever you do, go right through with God. This is your big thing. And then your gift that you have will get grander. It will partake of the great warmth and love of God. It will cease to be a mechanical thing that sort of works, ticks over on a certain emotional level, or something like this. It will be partaking of the fiber of the life. It will be living in a glorious way. Now, this is what the Lord wants you all to go on in. And like everything else, you will find that that when a thing is given to you by God, there will, after the thing is given, come a crisis in the life. A crisis in its use and development. That will most certainly come. You watch it, because this is all, and you remember, you must remember that everything that God does, it evolves around the cross principle. And you will know that the cross was the greatest crisis of the Christ. It all evolves around the principle of the cross. Hallelujah. And every gift you receive from God must, in this sense, come to the cross and go down into death. And into a resurrection. You will find this as you go on. You may not have thought of this before, but it must click with you as I say it. That's what will happen. Everything, there's a cross involvement in it. And after it's been through the cross process, it will then come to the throne, and it will reign. This is a law in everything in the Spirit of God. And it's a wonderful thing for you to learn. Now, you won't have a cross process where a gift is concerned unless you know the cross process where the life is concerned. Is that gone right in? Therefore, the important thing is not the gift. The important thing is, in the end, is the vessel in which the gift resides. And then the gift comes to its importance when the vessel is right with God. And then one sees the sphere of service and the area of usefulness and the application, and that you are now gifted of God unto this end. It's the cross process which takes out of the spiritual ability all that's rotten and sinful, that I have talked about, say, in a Chopin. Chopin could create the most wonderful music, you see, but he could live such a terrible life. Doesn't bear examination in our circles. Terrible, you see. And the man that I've heard play Chopin best is a man so full of devils that he nearly frightened you. That's if you're a person that gets frightened but in that realm. And it's a big thing to understand. Now, the cross takes care of that. God can't and will not have anything that's not consistent with the life of Jesus Christ. Isn't this a marvelous thing? So, therefore, beloved, give yourself up 100% heartily to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. And walk the more excellent way. And you remember that Paul said, we've told ourselves these things before, but let's remind ourselves. Paul said, I show it to you. He didn't say, I tell you about it. He wasn't saying, don't do as I do as I tell you. He's not saying, I'm telling you about it in a more excellent way. He said, I'm showing it to you. That's right. That's a marvelous thing. That's a glorious thing to show it, beloved. And when you're showing it, that is the more excellent way of God's perfect love in your life. Well, then you can go on, and all these things flow so naturally in you and are so wonderfully consistent. Praise God. All right, I think that's all I wanted to say to you about that. As I say now, that was talking to you before I preached to you.